Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 48 of the Lesbian Book Club with me, your host, Claire Lydon. This month we do not have an interview. No, we don't. But what we do have is a lot of me. So I hope you're down for that. In this one, I'm going to round up my favourite Christmas books, as well as doing up a roundup of my year in 2018 and working out if I hit the goals I set at the beginning of the year. I don't know if you remember that I did a podcast in January setting out the goals I had for this year. And I haven't done badly. I was just looking over them before before I did this, just to see how I did, and not too bad. So that's pretty good. But first, let's see what's hot in the UK and US Amazon charts as usual. So first up, the Amazon charts, the Amazon lesbian fiction charts, and number one on both sides of the pond, as I record this on December the 21st, are my good friends Harper Bliss and TB Markinson, which is lovely. Now, Harper and I collaborated for the first time earlier this year with our book Once Upon a Princess, and that one did really well, and it was a great experience. More of that later in my roundup of my goals. This one is her and TB's first collaboration, and it seems to be going pretty well too, which is fab. It's the story of Pulitzer Prize winning photographer Eileen, Brava for the older name, who meets social worker Naomi when she goes for some physical therapy, and it's the beginning of an age gap romance. The reviews are absolutely loving it, and I have my own copy because I asked them for one, so they gave me it. it's the upside of knowing authors, but I haven't read it yet. I don't know. Maybe I'm saving it for one of those moments over the holidays where I need to just sink into a gorgeous book, and I'm sure it is. So I'm looking forward to that. Also doing well in the US and the UK is A Kind of Miracle by Emma Chamberlain and Blythe Stone. I've heard both of those names. I haven't read any of theirs and I haven't read this one, but it's the story of a young woman who meets a doctor on the eve of her wedding, and in the words of Kylie, she can't get her out of her head. The blurb doesn't say much more of that, and it's very short, in fact, and the book is just as short at 189 pages. However, it is only 99p, 99 cents at the time of recording, so if you fancy a short burst of festive cheer, I'm hoping there's going to be a happy ending, because otherwise that would be a very bad lesbian romance. But have a read and check it out. Robin Alexander is an author who needs no introduction. She's a veteran of the lesfic scene, and her books are frankly nailed on bankers, stuff full of humour. Her latest is called Blissfully Blindsided, which is great alliterative title there. And Robin wins the award for the year's best named romance leads. Yes, she does in this one. So step forward, the two romance leads in Blissfully Blindsided. First, Blaise Saunier. I know, Blaise Saunier and Kaylee Brewer. Or Kaylee Brooks, I don't know. Kaylee spelled C-A-L-E-I-G-H, and Brewer is B-R-E-A-U-X. So bit of a French theme going on there. When I have to stop and think about how to say the names, while I applaud them, I'm not sure that's a win. But hey, that's just me. I like to go for easy character names. Anyhow, back to the story. Blaise is down on her luck. Kaylee is on the lookout for love, and I reckon she might find it in this small town romance with a big heart. Overlook the cover on this one, because the insides of Robin's books are always fantastic. Emma Nichols' new release, Madeline, is cantering up the charts as I type this. Emma's books are fab if you haven't read one before, and Emma was on the podcast this year, last year? Can't quite remember, but if you look back through the list, she was on it in the last 18 months. This book is set in post-World War II France and features a war widow, the eponymous Madeleine, who meets Claudette. Very good character names there as well. Madeleine and Claudette. I love those. Can their love flourish amid the twists and turns of their lives and the society they're living in? I think it might. And this one has a very suggestive and, nay I say, seductive cover. So check that one out. Finally, also doing well is Winter Hearts, a collection of short stories put together by A.E. Radley, and all proceeds of this are going to charity. So if 12 lesbian authors and a bunch of short stories are your bag and you fancy giving a little bit of cash to some worthwhile causes, I think one of them is Stonewall, then this might be right up your street. Meanwhile, in the UK, Joe Heap's The Rules of Seeing is still top three after a month after we mentioned it, so it must be doing something right. This is the story of Nova, who has an operation to give her sight for the very first time, and she meets Kate at the hospital, and Kate begins to reassess her life and see it in a whole new light too. This one has been selling like hotcakes and is a quirky story, love story between two women. So check that one out if you haven't already. Also this time round, I've done a little blog about my favourite Christmas books, and I can recommend quite a few. There's a few this year that I haven't read. Obviously there's Harper and TB's. There's one by Anne McMahon that I've seen getting good reviews. There's Lise Gowell's Northern Lights. There's a few others around. So if you look in the charts and you fancy a lesbian Christmas read, because let's face it, I've been watching a lot of Christmas films, but they've never got a lesbian storyline. I can always see how they can take the films and make them a lesbian storyline, but they never do. It's always a lady and a man, isn't it? But I still love these Christmas movies. I'm a sucker for Christmas. But if you want a lesbian storyline in a Christmas romance, then you're going to have to turn to books. And also, of course, audiobooks. But for my money, the best ones I've read over the last few years. First up, Jen Silver's Christmas at Winterbourne. Now, not really a romance, rather an ensemble piece, this book is based on a rambling old estate in Surrey, run by lesbians and now a lesbian retreat. There are a truckload of characters to get your head around at first, and it does get a bit dizzy at one point, but once you get a hang of it, you'll find your guest at the guest house too, along with couples old and young, newly blooming romances, the heartbroken and the about to give birth. This book is a gentle observational snapshot of Christmas time in a house full of lesbians, replete with a touch of drama, along with lashings of mulled wine and mince pies. And who doesn't love mulled wine and mince pies? It's an easy read that draws you in and has a bumper crop of cracker jokes, along with skinny dipping, snowball fights and flowing champagne. What's not to love about that? I also a fan of Amy Dunn's Seasons Meetings. Now, Amy doesn't normally do sugary romances. Her other novels have included issues such as self-harm and surviving the apocalypse. So her doing a Christmas romance was a little out there for her, but it's a good one. The story goes thusly. Catherine is a workaholic and a regular Scrooge who doesn't want to do Christmas. However, her friend Beth has other ideas and persuades her to come to Scotland for the holidays. Catherine misses her flight, has to do a long road trip, and in the process gives a lift to a beautiful stranger, Holly. Well, it is Beth's cousin, but a stranger to her. En route, they rescue a dog, get caught in a snowstorm, and get to know each other way better. Can they overcome the obstacles in their way to embrace the moment with each other? You know, some reviews have said this book is formulaic, but it's a romance, and for me, romance formula works. And if you don't like Christmas, avoid it. But if you do, rejoice for lesbians falling in love in the snow. I'm also a fan of Jane Retzig's The Retreat. And although it says this is a Christmas book, it's not really all that festive, I've got to be honest. But what this one lacks in festive vibes, it makes up for with a gripping story, beautifully painted characters, and a heart-wrenching dilemma for our central pair. The Retreat is the story of Joe and Ed, best friends from school, and Ed's wife Natalie, who Joe has been having an affair with for the past 8 years. Now, I know that affairs get people a little bit hot under the collar and a little bit frowny, but it's real life, people. So let's just, you know, pretend we're living in the real world. On Christmas Eve, Joe and Natalie realise that their affair has been rumbled, and so Joe hotfoots it to a local retreat to find out where she should go from here. Now, the novel is described as a sort of lesbian romance, and I can see why. There are no formulas here, all the normal romance algebra tossed out the window. Instead, you're treated to a true-to-life, touching and in turns heartbreaking tale of family ties, relationship breakdowns, and ultimately the love that sticks no matter what. It's a story told with conviction and heart, and it doesn't shy away from life's big issues. And I know that this one is out in audio, so if you prefer to listen, do give it a go this Christmas time. I'm also a fan of Jay's Under a Falling Star. While not explicitly a holiday theme book, it does start off at Christmas and finish at Christmas the following year. Plus, a Christmas tree is one of the main plot devices, so it qualifies. It's the charming tale of workaholic Dee and the new girl in the office, Austin, and it involves class, family and love, as well as getting caught naked in a hot tub. And as everyone knows, class plus family drama plus love is a winner, and hot tub sex is always a winner in my book too. On top of that, this is Jay, and we all know that Jay can write a book. So if you're in the mood for a Christmassy romance with a H-E-A, grab Under a Falling Star today. Georgia Beer's Fresh Tracks is one of my favourite Georgia Beer books. Georgia Beer's books. I am a fan of hers. I think Fresh Tracks, along with Too Close to Touch and Starting from Scratch, are my favourite three of her books, and she's written a lot of books. This one is another ensemble piece. It's a book I've read countless times. It centres around a group of friends getting together at Amy's cabin in the woods for the week between Christmas and New Year. Again, there's heartbreak and romance for couples and singles, along with Amy's pesky 20-something niece Darby, who has a crush on her friend Molly. Read it and you'll feel the highs and lows of the holidays and the couples involved, and there's a sex scene near the end where there's two singles sharing a room, and one of them's having a sex dream, and the other wakes the other one up and asks if she can finish her off, which I just love. I mean, you know, you've got to laugh at that one, haven't you? And she does. She obliges because, you know, it's a friendly household. This is a book I've loved for years, and I every time I read it, I always want to go to that cottage, the shack in the, not a shack, the dwelling in the woods. I can't think of the word. Dwelling? House? Cottage? Maybe it is a cottage. Anyway, I can't go because Georgia Beer's made it up, so damn it. I also love Jerry Hill's Chasing a Bright of Blue. Set in the hills of Colorado, it features traumatized photojournalist Regan, who wants to get away from it all at a resort hotel, and Shelby, whose sister happens to be marrying Regan's brother at said resort. Oh, and her family owns it too. The book starts out with a delicious scene of Regan hitting on Shelby at the bar, which is done with consummate Jerry Hill style. After that, just sit back and watch the wedding action unfold. Neither of the women are looking for love, but this is a romance, so I think they might just find it. This is a Christmas cracker of a book, so I'd recommend it. Finally, I can't leave this Christmas roundup without a shout out for my own book, All I Want for Christmas. It's the story of Tori and Holly, and it's spanned, their series spanned the whole of 2016. This one is about Tori, who wants to find a girlfriend for Christmas, and she gives herself a month to do just that. Cue hilarious dates and first loves turning up until suddenly a new option opens up that might have just been staring her in the face all along. It's guaranteed to warm the cockles of your Christmas heart, I promise you. So that is my extended roundup of Christmas books and what's hot in the charts at the moment. So I hope that has given you some food for thought on what you might read over the coming week. Because let's face it, if you're going to your family or if you're just sticking around, you probably won't be working. And so there's going to be a lot of time for reading, which is like, you know, or listening, which is one of the great things about Christmas time, I think. So let's have a look at how I did in my goals for 2018 as the year draws to a close, because in January I'll be doing new goals and I will be fronting them up on this podcast again. So I still can't believe it's December, can you? It's been an amazing year. For me, it's been my best year ever. I've sold more books than ever. I've reshaped my mindset, and I've done things I only tentatively thought were possible at the beginning of the year, because that's what goals are. I wasn't sure if I was going to hit them all, and I didn't hit them all, and that's okay. But as long as you set the goals and then try and go for them, that's the main thing. So I failed at some, But I don't really see it as failing. I see it as I laid the groundwork. I'm looking at it positively. So at the beginning of the year, I had 10 goals, which is a nice round number, isn't it? So the first one was go audiobook crazy. Now, my aim was to get a slew of audio out this year. And did I achieve it? With bells on, sleigh bells, ding-a-ling-a-ling, I say. This year, I managed to produce 5 audiobooks, and I have another in the works already for next year. February and March 2018 were big audio months for me, where I put out Twice in a Lifetime into the World, read by the fabulous TJ Richards, and I produced that one myself, along with my first 4 of my London Romance series also went out into the world, and they were produced by Audible. Audible bought the rights off me and they produced them themselves. And they were read by Emily Bennett and Lucy Price Lewis. So London Calling, This London Love, A Girl Called London and The London of Us. So if you haven't listened to my audiobooks yet, I've got 6 out now, Nothing to Lose as well. And I hope that you listen and enjoy them all. I'm really pleased that I managed now. I've got 6 audiobooks out, which is really cool. And I am planning to do more next year. Oh, no, actually, I've got 7 audiobooks out. What am I talking about? I've also put out Once Upon a Princess, the co-write I did with Harper Bliss this year. So 7 audiobooks out. So that's really brilliant. And I think audio is a really exciting sort of space to be in. And I'm really... it's one of those things I never expected when I first started writing. When you write, you just think that your book is going to be out in ebook and in print. And I never thought that it would be out in audio. And it's really cool, actually, to hear your words spoken by a proper actor. So that is really cool. And maybe in the coming years, maybe next year, I might go after a few translations, because that's another thing you never really think. You just always think of your book being in ebook or in print in English, but there are so many other options to make your book more accessible and get it out in all different platforms all over the world. So that's really exciting. Tick on audiobook. My second goal was be kinder to myself. Now this one took some work, because as I'm sure you know, being kinder to yourself is not easy. You know that thing where they always say, don't they, that if you speak to yourself and in the same way that you would speak to your best friend, and you should catch yourself when you're berating yourself and when you're being unkind to yourself and say, is this how your best friend would deal with it? Because I think we are the most unkind to ourselves. And also I think writing full time can be a very lonely business. You know, I spent 15 years in an office before I took up writing full time. I've been writing full time nearly 3 years, and I've been doing it part time for nearly 2 years before that. So it's been sort of 5 years I've been running my own business and working for myself. And that takes some time to get used to, I have to say. My first year full time writing, it was really exciting because I thought, wow, I'm doing it. I'm living my dream. But the second year was rough. I've got to admit it. It was rough. You sort of crash back down to earth. And it's just trying to work out how to do this, how to live the life, because you're living your dream. But then how do you structure it? How do you order it so you enjoy it? Because you've got to enjoy it as well. It doesn't matter. You say, wow, I'm living my dream. But if you don't enjoy it, then you're not living your dream, are you? So this year I've taken numerous steps to making sure last year's bumpy ride isn't repeated. So what have I done? Well, I've made more writing friends and we chat regularly, and that's really helped, because it really, really does help talking to people who understand what you're going through. And, you know, that's like in any job, isn't it? It's great to talk about your job to people who are working there with you and understand. I also went away on a writing retreat, which was great. This one was a budget writing retreat. We went to a caravan park. We went to one of those mobile homes, you know, at a caravan park near Hastings. And I've got to admit, I never got taken to a caravan park, and I've always secretly had a yearning to go and stay in a caravan. So it actually made my dreams come true. And I'm sure all the other writers there thought I was taking the mick, but I really wasn't. I think it helped that the caravan was really brand spanking new, and it was so cool and actually bigger than quite a lot of flats in London. But I really enjoyed the caravan writing retreat, and also I made some new friends. It was great sort of sitting around all weekend in the evenings talking about writing and just laughing. But we also did a lot of work, so that was really cool. I started writing out of the house as well, so I got out of the house every day and writing in cafes, which picked up my exercise and well-being, got me out in the sunshine, got me walking, all good. Plus I hired a life coach, and this was a pivotal decision. It's been brilliant to help me reshape my mindset, because as I said, being a writer is not just about being a writer, folks. You want to make a career of it, you've got to be a business person as well, being an entrepreneur. And getting my head around all that and having someone to talk about it to is crucial. So I'm coming out in 2018 feeling like I've actually really achieved this, being kinder to myself. Not to say that I'm always, or I always am, but I really feel like I've achieved a lot this year in reshaping my mindset and going into 2019 in the best frame of mind possible. And that is honestly, I sound a bit woo-woo now and a bit hippie, but it's the best present I could give myself. So I'm patting myself on the back for that. I'm taking my hand, I'm putting it over my shoulder, and patting myself on the back. My third goal was to grow my VIP readers group. If there's one thing I love about this job, it's having contact with readers. I know it sounds trite, and I know it's like, you know, it's like when pop groups say, I owe it all to my fans. And believe me, it's even bizarre for me to think that I've got fans, but I know I prefer to think of them as people that enjoy my writing, and I'm always grateful for people who read my books. I really am, because like I say, writing is a solitary job, but when someone reads your book and says it's touched them, or it's entertained them, or it's made them laugh, it really does make it all worthwhile. I've been giving away my Christmas novella, It Had to Be You, for 2 years now. And to get it, you have to join my VIP Readers Club at www.clairelydon.co.uk. Just go there if you're not already a member. Fill in your name and email address at the top. I'll send you a free novella. And I actually think, I read it again recently, and I think it's one of the best things, still one of the best things I've ever written. So there you go. But when you're part of that group, I mail you once every 2 weeks and I tell you what I'm up to. I'll give you snippets about my life and book recommendations. I really love doing this, you know. Writing the email every 2 weeks honestly is the highlight. It really is a highlight of my week. I love the comments and emails I get back. But I really love the interaction it encourages. I love talking to readers. I love getting feedback. And it really is one of the highlights that I didn't think would be a highlight for me when I first started. I've got to admit, you know, I don't know, I think I just wanted to write in a bubble, kind of. That's what I thought when I first started, but I absolutely think the opposite now, and I absolutely love hearing from readers. So, and growing my readers group means I've got more people to chat to. So you're doing me a favour if you sign up. My fourth goal was public speaking and networking. And I think I've slam dunked this one in 2018. I'd done a bit of this before, but I've extended a little bit in 2018. So that's great. I mean, it doesn't have to be massive steps, just steps in the right direction. And I feel like I've done that. First up, I spoke at Transport for London's LGBT group again for the second year running. And I also spoke at the LGBT group at the London Metropolitan Police. So I got to go to New Scotland Yard and have a tour of their new building, which is very modern. It's very cool. It's got this really awesome bit at the top that they use for like training, but it's got a wraparound deck that overlooks the London Eye. So that is a very cool place to just hang out. And I'm trying to think of some way I can break in to watch the New Year fireworks, but I'm not sure it's the most sensible thing to break into New Scotland Yard. Plus, they got armed police guarding the entrance. He stopped me as I was trying to go in to do my talk. And I was like, hello, I'm here to give a talk. Don't shoot me. You have to take your passport and everything. It's all very top secret, top security, which, you know, is a little bit thrilling, obviously. After that one, I went to karaoke with the bunch of cops afterwards. So it went pretty well. On top of that, I spoke at ElCon, the first European Lesfic Literary Festival, which was a terrific inaugural event held in Bristol in August. I hope it happens again, but it was great to get together and just be around loads of other lesfic authors and lesfic readers, more to the point as well. Plus, I also spoke on a panel, a lesbian panel in November in London at the Right Idea Festival in Whitechapel. So a varied bag, really. And it was great to mix things up. And yeah, just I really enjoy getting out there and talking and meeting readers. Next year, I'm hoping to do similar events with the police, London Met already showing interest in having me back. So that's great. Plus, I'm booked in to do an event at Kenrick in London in February, which should be fab too. So if you're interested in coming along to that, I think it's on February 28th or 29th, and that's in London. And don't forget, the Diva Literary Festival happens in March from the 15th to the 17th of March in Birmingham. I'll be there. I'm not sure if I'm speaking yet. I hope to be, but if I'm not, I'll be there anyway because it was a great event last time. My fifth goal was to publish at least two novels that I've written myself. And listener, I did just that. So hurrah! I did two novels. They were both in the London Romance series. The London of Us came out in June and London Actually came out in October. And I'm very proud of both books, and you can expect more London romance-ness next year when the next one in the series comes out. That's going to be called Made in London. And that should be out in the first half of the year. I am just formulating a plan for it. I'm doing a bit of research and I'm going to be doing the outline as soon as I finish the book I'm working on, which should be by the end of this year. So I'll be writing Made in London in sort of Jan-Feb and hoping to get it out. I'm not sure exactly when, but maybe May, June. So a big tick in the box to write more books, which is good, seeing as I am a writer and that's what I do. Goal number six was continue podcasting. I did. Here I am. I managed a podcast every week in 2018, interviewing a vast selection of lesbian authors, which was really cool. And I hope to do more in 2019. I'll also be co-hosting another podcast in 2019. So more details when that's nailed down, but you'll be the first to know about it when it happens. The next goal was to write some non-fiction books. Now, this is not so much of a fail. It's more of a to be continued. I mean, yes, I didn't do it, so it is a fail. But the thing is, I had some non-fiction books that I wanted to write. That I did write way back in 2008, 10 years ago, nearly 11 years ago. And I managed to salvage them from an old laptop, and I thought they were gone. I thought I'd lost them. I had a publisher lined up to publish these books, but then the publisher went bust in the 2008 recession. I thought I'd lost them, but I found them. I dusted them off. They were half bad. However, after sitting down with them for a week and trying to mould them into something, I decided I needed more space to really give them, make them what I wanted and do them justice. So I backed away. It is a project I intend to come back to. It might be this year. 2019, I mean, next year. It might be, I don't know. If it is 2019, it will be in the latter half. I have three fiction books I've got to get out before July 2019. So I have set myself a challenge, definitely in the writing stakes for 2019. Because in the past, I think I've done three novels. In the past 2 years, I've done three novels a year. And last year, one of those was a joint novel, so sort of two and a half. This year, I'm challenging myself. I'm going to be challenging myself to do more. But, you know, that's in my goals, and that's all going to be in the new year. So non-fiction books, watch this space. I do intend to do it. But I think it's just the case that 10 years ago, my writing was very different, and I was in a very different place, and just putting that out, polishing it up and putting it out again wouldn't have been me now. Because I think every book you do is like a time capsule of where you were at the time. Like when I look back at London Calling now, I wouldn't write that book in the same way. Yet I'm not going to change it because people still really enjoy it. And there is still definitely obviously the essence of me, but I wouldn't write it in the same way. But that's just how you evolve as a writer. And I think that's every book. So I'm not going to take a book I wrote 10 years ago and just put it out now. So it needs a lot more work than I first anticipated. I thought I'd be able to do it in a couple of weeks. No, I'm going to have to completely rewrite it. So maybe next year. Goal number eight was try a collaborative book. Well, reader, listener, even, I did it. It was a big tick and it was a huge success. Once Upon a Princess, which I wrote with Harper Bliss, was our take on a lesbian royal romance written to coincide with the royal wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. It was written in 2 months from start to finish, and I loved the whole process, even though it really was one of the most nerve-wracking things I've ever done. And Harper and I have detailed that on the podcast a few months ago, just after it came out. I think it was the June or July podcast. Opening up your writing process and sharing it with someone else is one of the most intimate things I've ever done with somebody I'm not, you know, involved with. Because a first draft of something is, I never show that to anyone. No one. My wife is my first reader and she gets draft 2, maybe even draft 3. And the editor gets draft 4. So showing someone your first draft is daunting. But once you get over that, it was really, really a fantastic experience. Harper was a perfect writing companion because we were both nervous. We both realised it was a big thing. So beyond the readers loving the book and it being so well received, writing with someone really blew my mind as to how much I enjoyed it. I loved the camaraderie of it. I loved the writing chat every day. I loved sharing the whole process. It lightened the load. It made it more fun. That's not to say writing isn't fun. It is. I really love doing it. But obviously, as with every job, there are aspects to it that I don't like as much. But it was fun to share it all with somebody else. And that was the biggest joy of all. And it was a huge surprise. I am going to be collaborating again in 2019 with someone new. Da, da, da. Watch this space. But Harper and I have talked about doing another book. And hopefully we will at one time. But I'm not sure if it will be next year. Maybe 2020. But we'll see. Goal number 9 was get fit, get lean. Now this is hard. I really wanted to do this year, but honestly, I didn't put enough focus on it. And that's my bad, because I feel like I really wanted to go into last year with a good intention of getting fit and losing a bit of weight. I'm not hugely overweight, but I know that when I sit down to write, I have an optimal weight that I want to be, where I can feel good. And I wasn't there. It's tricky, though, because I was away for a big chunk of the year. I went to Thailand, Australia, Canada, America, Croatia, Spain. I've done a lot of travelling this year. And all of that involves a lack of fitness routine and more eating and drinking than normal. However, since November, I've been in a good routine of food and drink. And I'm actually really going to 2019 positive about this one. So, no, I didn't really succeed in what I set out to do. However, I feel like 2019 is going to be my breakthrough year. I've got my running mojo back. And I'm feeling nearly on track with that. And eating wise, I never thought I would stop eating bread. I haven't stopped completely, but I've really cut down. And being an Irish girl, a girl of Irish descent, that's my terrible Irish accent. Eating bread is, you know, it's one of my core identities. But I'm trying to cut down, and I think I've sort of shifted my mindset on that too. It's all about mindset, it turns out. So I'm shifting this goal to 2019. Health goals, they roll over. I think health goals really, they're ongoing. They're lifelong, aren't they? The final goal was to read a new book from a different genre each month. I'm not sure I quite managed it, but I did discover some brilliant new authors, lesbian and non-lesbian alike. So I do consider that a kind of win. And I did read things in other genres, like I read a great poetry book called Night Sky with Exit Wounds, which was brilliant. I've got some new faves in contemporary romance, Sarah Morgan and Rowan Coleman. Anything either of those two write is terrific. You know when you just pick up a book and you're hooked straight away, and hot certainty about what's going to come flows through your veins. Is that you're not sitting there and you're not going, oh, is this should I carry on reading? No, there's none of that with these two. I love them both, and so that's been brilliant. I love discovering new reliable authors. They've given me back a love of, you know, I just can sink into their books. It's a beautiful feeling. But I've also read some fabulous craft and productivity books this year, namely The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, Atomic Habits by James Clear, and Deep Work by Cal Newport. So 3 productivity books in a year is pretty revolutionary for me. You might not think so, but you know, I'm the sort of person, i.e. most people, who buys productivity books or productivity courses and then just looks at them. And maybe I might lie my head on them as a pillow and feel like maybe I could absorb them through osmosis, but it doesn't happen. So to actually read them and I still remember bits of them, and I put some of the bits into practice, so that's amazing. And in Lesvik, Lise McTeague, who was on episode 45, challenged me to get out of my comfort zone with her steampunk book, Demon in the Machine. And after my initial, oh my God, really, about it, I really enjoyed it. So now I know what steampunk is. It's a Christmas miracle indeed. So all in all, I don't feel I did too bad. I hit my professional goals, all bar one, and it's just the getting fit and reading more widely that fell a little. But I feel like 2018 was a great year. It really was. I enjoyed it. I worked hard. I did a lot of travelling. I feel like I'm coming into 2019 in such a brilliant mindset. And I think it's going to be seismic. Seismic, baby. And I hope it's going to be one where people read more of my books and just read more books in general, because reading books is a great thing to do. Or listen to books. I'll be having more audiobooks. Listen to audiobooks or listen to podcasts. And I hope it's a year where more readers get in touch with me and where I can get out and about and meet more readers and authors and truly live my creative life. I feel like this year I might not have gained muscle in my arms where I intended, but I've gained muscle in my writing game and my business game. And that is cool too. So I hope you've enjoyed 2018 in the Lesbian Book Club podcast. And I hope to be back next year bringing you more books, more authors, more of everything that is lesbian or queer fiction in 2019. And I'm excited for what is to come. So all that's left for me to say is have a fantastic Christmas. If you celebrate it, if you don't, have a good few days off. It's a win-win, whatever religion or whatever holiday you celebrate, and have a fantastic new year as well. And I hope to see you back for the Lesbian Book Club in 2019. Au revoir. That's the end of this Lesbian Book Club. So this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off for the last time in 2018. If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to read more of my books, The London Romance series, Nothing to Lose, Twice in a Lifetime, The Long Weekend, Once Upon a Princess, or the All I Want series, you can find all my books and more of my blogs and videos and audio and more about me at www.clairelydon.co.uk, or just look me up on all the digital stores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, Kobo, Bella Books, and everywhere books are sold. I've also got 7 audiobooks out, and they are available on Audible and iTunes and wherever audiobooks are sold. If you'd like to connect with me on social media, I'm claire.lydon on Facebook, at claire.lydon on Twitter, and at claire.fic on Instagram. I'm probably most active on Instagram, so come along there and click the follow box. And if you'd like to sign up to my VIP readers group and get a free Christmas novella, who wouldn't love that? Do go along to my website, www.clairelydon.co.uk, and fill in your name and email address at the top, and I'll send you the Christmas novella. Thanks so much to Denise at the Lesbian Lounge for hosting and producing this podcast. It's much appreciated. And join me next year for my first podcast of the year, where I'll be interviewing the lovely Lily Hammond. See you then. Have a great Christmas and New Year.